Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Lauren Robinson.
Sports Radio, 101.9 FM. The Fan, WFAN.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lori Rubinson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan. 877-337-6666. Mr. Paul Rosenberg is producing tonight. You heard Peter Schwartz. He's on the updates. I will be with you for 4 hours until your overnight. We got some good guests for you tonight. Coming up, kicking it off in an hour at 10 p.m., Mike Puma from the New York Post on the Mets was out there at Citi Field. Doc Gooden, the retirement ceremony, the Mets win, all of that. We'll talk about it. Jose Budo, you heard all about that. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Ian Begley from SNY going to join me. Covers basketball, the Knicks, and the NBA. And I'm going to talk about the New York Knicks, their win against the Bulls. Recap the season, Jalen Brunson, and some of the surprises of this team, a number two overall seed. And then look ahead to the playoffs. We're talking playoffs. And the New York Knickerbockers as a two seed. And what does that mean? And Knicks fans, I ran a poll during the game, but admit it, was there a part of you, did you want them to win and play the winner of a more difficult matchup with Philadelphia or Miami? Or did you want them to lose, end up the three seed, and play the Pacers? 877-337-6666. So we'll talk about that as well. And then coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, I will be joined by Mark Canizzaro from the Post. He's at the Masters at Augusta National, first major champion, men's major championship of the year. And Scottie Scheffler, it was a highly competitive tournament. And the middle of the day, there was a tie atop the leaderboard, and suddenly we blinked, and on the back nine, Scottie Scheffler pulled away and just played some gorgeous golf, and we'll talk about that and what that means as well. All right, we've got your topics, of course, also include Yankees. They lose a tough one. Felt like a very winnable game, but still, your first place, Yankees. So we'll talk about that. You want to talk about the Rangers and the Islanders finishing up the NHL season as they look ahead. And of course, we're going to blink, people, and in about 4 minutes, a week and a half, really, but 4 minutes, we're going to have the NFL draft. And we're going to find out what the Giants are going to do. Are they going to trade up for a quarterback? Are they going to stay at six and make a pick there? What are the Jets going to do? Is it going to be an offensive lineman? Is it going to be another weapon for Aaron Rodgers? What are they doing? So, plenty of topics, plenty to call in. and join the fun. 877-337-6666. You can also join me on X, on Twitter, at L Rubinson there, and I'll read out some of those posts, some of your tweets. But we start tonight, a couple topics off the top. One is Doc Gooden, and then the other, the New York Knicks. Those are the two topics off the top of the show. And on some level, they fit into some of the narrative of what Steve was talking about earlier. And I heard some of the callers and you all calling it about, you know, 1994 and things like that. And a day like today, you know, yeah, I understand the Yankees lost. So they lost, you know, I guess it wasn't a perfect day. But what a fantastic sports Sunday here in New York City. And the retiring of Doc Gooden's number out at Citi Field, number 16. Nobody else is going to wear that number in a Mets uniform. And all the looking back to a time, you know, in the 80s, 1984, Doc breaks into the league at age 19. Rookie of the year, 1985, wins the Cy Young, puts on one of the most dominant displays of pitching that we've seen. And what was great about the retirement, the number retirement today, two things, of course, that stand out. One was that if you were around and living through the Mets and the party that was the mid-80s, and listening to so many of them talk about what it was like every 5 days when Doc Gooden would take the mound and how his starts became an event. And it's hard to describe the energy and the way the city felt then. There are certain things that unite the city. And I get it. If you're a Yankee fan, you're not necessarily united around when Doc Gooden was coming up. But there is an energy when there is a transcendent player. And when you know you're seeing something incredibly special. And things like the K-Corner and hanging up K's in the stadium were born. Standing up when there's two strikes to applaud because you want to see the strikeout from the fans. All of that, but the experience, the event, and what it felt like to be at Shea Stadium for a Doc Gooden start, and to be in New York City, and it was appointment viewing, and there was an energy about it that is hard to describe. And no offense to Citi Field intended, it just doesn't have that same kind of energy. You know what? I know Shea Stadium was in a lot of ways, certainly wasn't the prettiest ballpark in all of Major League Baseball, but there was something to the way the stadium shook and just the way it felt. And so that was one thing, just to have those memories shared and reminding me and those of us who were around for 1984, 1985, 1986, of course, when the Mets break through and win the World Series. And then the second thing that I think was particularly noteworthy about today, it was clear that Doc Gooden wanted closure with Mets fans. That he needed, on some level, to have peace with Mets fans. Felt like there was unfinished business, a story with a final chapter not yet written. And he got to write that today. He got to talk directly to Mets fans, tell them how much they meant to him, how important their support was, even with this mercurial, brilliant player who, as he said, you know, addiction is an illness, And that was a part of his story and a part of his career. And cutting short in some ways, or stunting some of the brilliance. It was still there, but it wasn't the Hall of Fame career that Doc Gooden, you have to feel like, would have had without that. And it was important for him, I think, to, you know, multiple times for him to say that he wanted to come back to the Mets, but that wasn't something, whether it was, you know, ownership or baseball operations or both, did not want at that time, at multiple times, when he wanted to come back to the team, when he wanted to be a part of the Mets organization again, and that he hadn't wanted to leave, and that he did want to come back, and he wanted the fans to know that. And even when he talked about going to the Yankees and Mets fans booed that, that he then said, no, 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 I'm a Met. You know, I'll always be a Met. And it felt clearly important to him to have that opportunity to say that directly to the fans. And, you know, so for that, I think kudos to Stephen Alex Cohen, to the Mets organization, for finally getting some of these things, you know, getting to a point where they are acknowledging the team's history more frequently, more regularly. And, you know, it's hard to understand why that didn't happen more in the past, but it is happening now. And these are wrongs that are being righted. And, of course, Daryl Strawberry surprised Doc Gooden. That was a more emotional part of the day. He was there. Daryl Strawberry had a heart attack about a month ago. And, you know, you forget at times that, you know, Daryl Strawberry, 62 years old, that these guys are, I don't know, they're not in their 40s and 50s. They're in their 60s. And in the case of some of them, Keith Hernandez and, you know, others in their 70s. But it was important to acknowledge Doc Gooden today to retire that number. It will be important to acknowledge Daryl Strawberry, his number being retired, his number 18 will be retired in June. And the one thing, and I'll ask Mike Puma about this, the one thing I will say I thought was a little curious about the day was I'm not sure why you would schedule it in April. That would be my one qualm with it, is that scheduling it so early in the season, I don't know, the weather's not so great. It wasn't particularly great today. And you're therefore, you don't have the same packed house. I mean, obviously the fans, the warm reception, all of that important for him, a terrific day. But you would have liked to have seen this. Could it have been done in July when kids are out of school and the stadium's packed and you could have had you know, warm weather and all of that. So that would be the one qualm I would make. But I thought that otherwise, I thought it was a terrific day. I thought it was very well done. And I also thought, if you didn't watch or listen to the Mets broadcast today, Doc then joined the Mets TV booth and was telling stories about his dad. And one that I thought was funny was he was saying how his father taught him all of his pitching mechanics and used to make him work on mechanics before he would let him, like, go out and play catch. Other kids would get to play catch, play ball with their dads, all this stuff. He had to work on mechanics with his dad. And the part that I found was funny is he said that his dad took a look at him and, you know, as a lot of baseball fans are aware, Gary Sheffield is Doc Gooden's nephew. And so, but the two of them are close enough in age, and that his dad looked at the two of them and said that Doc was going to be the pitcher and Gary was going to be the hitter. And Doc was saying today that he wanted to be a hitter and Gary wanted to be a pitcher, but his dad was like, not having that. That's not how it was going to be. And obviously, when you look at this, the success of both of their careers, it does seem like Doc Gooden's father knew something, was onto something. So anyway, Wonderful day and brought back a lot of great, great memories. If you're a lifelong Met fan and you were around during that period of time, and if you weren't, terrific documentary that the Mets did on Doc Gooden that aired right before the ceremony, so you can always watch that, that SNY had. And worth, studying up on the history. It was a heck of a time. It really was. The other thing that I also wanted to hit at the top of the show is with the Knicks winning on Sunday, number two overall seed, playing their butts off, and the Rangers looking like they are about to go into the Stanley Cup playoffs as a number one seed, and looking at all of this, and you can't help but think of 1994. You can't help but think of other times in our city when it felt like the city had an energy about it, with New Yorkers just united behind some of our teams. And I've said this before, I feel like, no disrespect intended to Nets fans, but I think the Knicks are a team that unites our city in a way that really no other team does. I think we're divided as baseball fans, as football fans. For hockey, certainly there's more Ranger fans, but you got your Islander fans, you have your Devils fans. The Knicks, it feels to me like you can be fans of all of those teams, but when the Knicks are good, it feels like everybody's a Knicks fan. And right now, there is a...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
In sports, there's nothing more fun. Like, of course you want to win a championship. That's the most fun thing. It's great. Your team wins that championship, especially if they haven't won one in forever. So nothing more fun than that. Those years that stand out when you've been in a drought and your team wins a title. That's the best. But you know what else is the best? When a team has an unexpected season. Now, when those two things meet and you have an unexpected championship, well, that's the ultimate best. I think back on a couple of those Eli Manning Giants championship seasons. I'm sure for some of you who are old enough to remember Joe Namath and the Jets and all of that, unexpected championship seasons, those are the absolute best. 1994, Rangers, but with the Knicks right now, I don't expect them to win a championship. I don't see this as a championship season. But if you had said to me at the beginning of the season, the Knicks were going to be the number two overall seed in the Eastern Conference, I would have told you, I think you're crazy. No way. The Knicks? I'll be happy if they're a four seed. That's a successful season. If they're a four seed, that's a successful season. If they're a five seed, okay, fine. I don't want them in the play-in game. They should be better than that. But number two seed, and if you had told me before the season that Jalen Brunson was going to improve to a level that on the last day of the regular season, when the Knicks beat the Bulls, the Chicago Bulls, to clinch that number two overall seed, that Jalen Brunson would score 40 points with 7 assists and 8 rebounds, and it would not be a big story. It would be ho-hum. It would be just another game. It wouldn't even really be a talking point. I understand I'm talking about it, but I'm talking about the fact that we're not talking about it. It's a non-story. The dude scored 40, and you know what? I'd look at that game and go, he was a little off. It was kind of an off night, off day, off afternoon for Jalen Brunson. He was 14 of 30. That's okay. A little less than 50% shooting. All right. He was only 1 of 4 from 3-point range. Jalen Brunson, only 1 of 4 from 3-point range? It was an okay game. Nothing, not out of the ordinary for sure. Not one of these Brunson burner games we talk about. But yeah, he scored 40. I mean, what the heck? So, this is an unexpected, Jalen Brunson is having an unexpected season developing into, you know, Knicks fans, I mean, let's face it. We, you know, I'll count myself as one of you. We sit there, if somebody, if somebody has a halfway decent game, we chant MVP around these parts for Knicks players. We get excited about anybody who's decent. But the MVP thing here, this guy is having legitimately an MVP season. A superstar has been born. And do I expect the Knicks to win a title? No. Do I expect the Knicks to be able to get past the Boston Celtics and represent the Eastern Conference? No. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what the ceiling is. But I know this team plays hard every night, brings joy to their fans, is having an unexpectedly good season, better than we had even really hoped for. And they are on the rise. They are ascending. And I've been in this city before, whether it's the year before a team became a championship team, a year or two, but you see them on the rise. And whether that's the Yankees or whether that's the Mets or whether that's the Giants getting better, when you feel a team on the rise, getting better, going from being a laughingstock to being respectable, if you live through even, for those of you who are around and can appreciate the Clyde Frazier championship years, fantastic, good on you. But for those of us who remember the 90s Knicks, the Patrick Ewing Knicks, 1994, they fell just short of a title. I will always regret that, but it doesn't erase that those seasons and that decade was special, and special to be at the Garden and to be a Knicks fan. And it feels like we are finally in an era of respectable, competitive Knicks basketball that's on the rise. And what comes next in the playoffs, we'll find out. But I know I sat there, and I'm wired to be the strategic fan more than I am sort of the emotional fan in some ways. So I'm the person who, if it's going to improve my team's chance at a draft pick, I will root for them to lose. I understand there are people who can't do that. But that's how I'm wired. The big picture, the long game. I play that. That's how I root. That's how I'm wired. And yet, with this Knicks team, I found myself on Sunday watching them play the Chicago Bulls in the 82nd last game of the regular season in a point where it did not really matter. And I shouldn't say it didn't matter. It became clear as you were watching the picture unfold that if they won, they were going to have to play a tougher team in the first round. They're going to have to play the winner in the play-in game. They're going to have to play the 7-8 matchup winner between the Miami Heat, who always have that gear they turn on in the playoffs, Heat culture, Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, all of that, or the Philadelphia 76ers. And if Joel Embiid is okay, then Embiid, Maxey, that team, healthy, is dangerous. So experienced playoff teams, you get stuck with one of them, or if you lose, if the Knicks had lost on Sunday, they could have been, you know, they fall to the 3 seed, but then they're playing the Indiana Pacers. Pacers have not been playing well lately, particularly in the second part of the season. Tyrese Halliburton has fallen back a little bit from the first part of the season. They are not that same team at the moment, and they don't have the same playoff experience. So if you're saying to me, which team would I rather play in the playoffs, in the first round, I'd rather face the Pacers than one of these other teams with more playoff DNA, with star players, with championship coaches. I'll take the Pacers over one of those. But yet, on Sunday, couldn't help myself. I was rooting like it was game 7 of a playoff series for go New York, go. Couldn't help myself. Rooting like crazy. And that's the fun of it. When the city has energy behind your team, and you as fans come together and build a community. And whether that was Doc Gooden and what it felt like to be a New York Mets fan in the early to mid-80s, late 80s, in that time period. And, or being a Knicks fan, 1994, the 90s Knicks. And I don't think I've enjoyed being a Knicks fan as much. I know I haven't since the 90s. It's been 2 decades since I've enjoyed that team as much as I am now. And kudos to Leon Rose. Kudos to Tom Thibodeau. Kudos to Jalen Brunson and all of them, the Nova Knicks, all of them, for the way they play.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.